Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're shaping a filtered breakdown that still feels alive. Not a dead, washed out pause. Not an overcooked effects moment. We want crisp transients up top, dusty mids in the middle, and the low end pulled away cleanly so the drop can come back and hit harder. This is a really useful move in drum and bass, because the breakdown has two jobs at the same time. It needs to clear space for the next section, but it also needs to keep enough rhythmic identity that the track still feels intentional, still mixable, still like a proper D&B record. That's why this matters. If the breakdown is too empty, the energy falls off a cliff. If it's too full, the drop return doesn't feel bigger. We're looking for that sweet spot in between. Start with a loop that already has some drum identity. That could be a break loop, a kick and snare skeleton, or a top loop with a bass layer you can remove later. If you're building from scratch, keep it simple. Kick on 1, snare on 2 and 4, some chopped break or hat material in between, and a bass note or rumble that can disappear when the breakdown starts. The reason is simple. A strong breakdown isn't just less stuff. It's recognizable rhythm with selective removal. What to listen for here is whether the groove still makes sense before any processing. If you mute the bass and the whole thing collapses, the drum mid-range probably needs more identity before you start filtering it down. From there, split the idea into layers. Keep your transient material separate from your dusty texture if you can. That gives you much more control. One lane should carry the snare crack, kick attack, and any break hits that define the pulse. Another lane should carry the dusty mid-range, like chopped amen slices, percussion fragments, noise, or degraded ambience. Then a third lane can hold the tension bid, maybe a reversed cymbal, a filtered stab, or a distant tail that helps glue the transition together. You can absolutely print a combined stem later if you want more cohesion and character, but for now, separate layers give you cleaner control. And that's usually the best way to work in Ableton Live 12 when you want a breakdown that sounds premium rather than vague. On the transient layer, use a Q8 first. Don't try to make it full range. That layer's job is to stay sharp and readable while everything else gets filtered. High-pass anything unnecessary in the low end, usually somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz depending on the source. If the crack feels dull, you can add a small lift somewhere around 2.5 to 5 kHz. If the edge gets too aggressive, back off a little around 6 to 8 kHz. Then bring in auto filter after that and let the top end narrow down gently. What to listen for is simple. Does the snare still read as a snare? Does the kick still feel like a kick, even if it's only giving you the front edge? If the transient turns into a soft blob, the filter is doing too much work. Raise the cutoff a bit, or reduce the EQ tilt before you reach for more processing. Now for the heart of the sound, the dusty mid-range. This is where the breakdown gets its personality. You want the mids to feel worn, sampled, a little degraded, like that audio has been passed through something imperfect. In Ableton, there are a few easy stock device chains that work well for this. One option is auto filter into saturator into a Q8. Use the filter to move slowly, keep the saturation modest, maybe a couple dB of drive, and then carve out the low mud after it. Another option is redux into auto filter into compressor. That one gives you a more broken, sample-like feel if you want the mids to sound older and rougher. Just don't overdo the bit reduction. We're going for dusty, not destroyed. This is where your source choice matters a lot. A chopped amen slice loop, a shaker fragment, a snare tail, a filtered stab, with noise in it, those kinds of sounds work really well. The goal is to keep the texture musical. If it starts fighting the kick or filling up the whole low mid region, high pass it harder and let the absence of bass do some of the heavy lifting. Why this works in D&B is because the listener is always tracking pulse and forward motion. Even when the low end drops out, if the transient layer stays readable and the dusty mids still imply rhythm, the track doesn't stop. It just changes state. That's the magic. Now automate like you're phrasing a conversation, not just sweeping a filter for the sake of movement. A long, smooth sweep can work, but the best breakdowns usually feel like they have internal sentences. Try thinking in 4-bar or 8-bar blocks. Let the first phrase open enough to reveal the groove, then darken or narrow it a little in the next phrase. Then give a transient or percussion detail a moment to poke through. Then thin the mids again right before the drop. You can automate cutoff, resonance if needed, and even a bit of dry/wet on a subtle effect like echo or redux for the tail end. The important thing is that the section feels like it's moving in steps. That keeps it musical. It gives the breakdown a shape. It stops it from sounding like one endless effects wash. The next thing to protect is transient punch. If the filtered section feels too soft, Try drum bus or light compressor on the transient group. Keep it subtle. A touch of transient emphasis can bring the snap back without making the section loud. You're not trying to inflate the breakdown. You're trying to preserve the front edge of the hits while the rest of the spectrum gets stripped away. What to listen for here is whether the snare still has that finger snap on the front of the hit. If it just sounds like a fat noise burst, the processing is too heavy. Back off the saturation or the filter depth before you start compressing harder. If the dusty mids feel too static, add movement carefully. Auto pan at a very slow rate can be great on a high-pass dust layer. Simple delay can create tiny width on texture only. Utility is useful for narrowing the low end or checking the section in mono. Chorus ensemble can work too, but only if the source is safely above the low mid area. Keep the rhythm-bearing material centered. That's the big rule. Widen the texture, not the timing. If it sounds huge in stereo but collapses in mono, the dusty layer is probably carrying too much of the groove. In that case, pull the rhythm back to the center and let width live in the atmosphere. A good habit here is to check the breakdown against the drop, not just in solo. Solo can lie to you. A dust layer that sounds massive by itself might actually weaken the whole arrangement if it's too wide or too mid-heavy. So always listen to the breakdown before the next section. Ask yourself, does the low end disappear cleanly? Does the return feel bigger because the mids were controlled? Does the section still imply a clock? A pulse, a countable phrase? If the answer is yes, you're close. If the answer is no, the fix is usually not more effects. It's usually less clutter, a cleaner bass fade, or a stronger final two bars before the drop. This is a really good point to print or resample the section if it needs more character. Route the whole breakdown to a new audio track, print it, and then work on the audio like an arrangement object. That lets you cut out a few transient hits, reverse a tail into the next section, add tiny fades, or trim the phrase into a tighter DJ-friendly shape. This is one of the most useful Ableton workflows for DNB, because it turns a processing chain into something you can actually perform with. If the breakdown feels correct but a little too polite, resampling is often the move that gives it attitude. It creates small imperfections that feel like part of the record, not part of the plugin settings. As you approach the final one or two bars, decide what kind of return you want. For a darker, heavier track, you might keep it narrow and tense, remove any lingering bass tail, throw in a final snare or reverse hit, and let the drop land with minimal warning. For something a bit more rollerish or liquid adjacent, you can open the top end slightly in the final bar and let a hint of bass harmonic energy return before the downbeat. A strong final bar often does more than a huge riser. Sometimes the best move is just to thin the texture suddenly, leave a little space, and let the next section own the impact. That little vacuum can be massive. A few common mistakes are worth avoiding. Don't filter everything equally, because then the whole section loses hierarchy. Don't kill the transient layer with too much low pass, because DNB needs rhythmic readability. Don't let dusty mids pile up below about 300 Hz, because that turns into fog instead of grit. Don't overwiden the whole breakdown, because the club translation will suffer. And don't make the automation too smooth and constant. Phrase it. Give it shape. The bigger idea here is hierarchy. In a good filtered breakdown, the listener should always know what's carrying the energy. Sometimes it's the transient. Sometimes it's the texture. Sometimes it's the absence of the bass itself. If two of those are fighting for attention, the section stops feeling intentional. Keep one element acting like a clock. A ghost snare, a break tick, a filtered hat fragment, even a small percussion pulse can be enough. That's what keeps the track DJable while it breathes. So here's the recap. Build from a loop that already suggests the groove. Separate your transient edge from your dusty mid texture. Use EQ8 and auto filter to keep the transients readable while the mids get darker and more worn. Use saturation, redux, or light compression to create controlled degradation. Automate in phrases, not endless sweeps. Check the section in context with the drop. And if it needs more attitude, print it and resample it. If you get it right, the breakdown should feel filtered, gritty, and purposeful. The snare should still cut. The mids should feel dusty, not muddy. The low end should disappear in a way that makes the return feel huge. That's the sound we want. Now try the 16-bar exercise. Build the transient layer, build the dusty layer, keep the bass mostly absent until the end, and make one clear transition point into the next section. Then render two versions if you can, one cleaner and more DJ-friendly, one dirtier and more broken up. That contrast will teach you a lot. And remember, the goal is not to overprocess the breakdown. The goal is to give the track a breath, a shape, and a runway back into the drop. When that bounce lands, the whole tune feels more powerful.